Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. Welcome to another episode of the Human Technology Podcast. Last episode was on the car HMI meeting at Berlin. And this meeting becomes more and more like a family reunion for me. It feels like meeting all these old friends and seeing the old faces and talking, hey, what have you done in the past year? And what are you working on? And of course, none of the big players will tell me exactly what they are working on. But yeah, learning from the others is networking is always possible there. And I deeply enjoy that. Beyond that, of course, the presentations are excellent, of very high quality of this meeting. So can gain a lot of knowledge. I learn a lot when I'm there. And beyond that, there are different workshop formats, different ways of running interactive workshops. And one is the so-called World Cafe, which is a format I'm using pretty often in customer projects and client projects, during creative phases, during kickoff phases. And the original World Cafe format means that you have a group, let's say, of 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 people, and you have some like 3 to 6 different groups. And every group has a group leader, and this group leader leads a certain aspect of a discussion. So how can we solve these problems? Or what are the next big challenges we are facing? And then in the first round, in a kind of brainstorming format, everybody puts out what he or she is thinking, believing on this particular subject. Then, after maybe half an hour, the people circle, meaning they move to the next flip chart or whiteboard or whatever way of recording you have, visual recording you have for this workshop. And based on what the group before had discussed, the discussion goes on, rearranging things, rediscussing things, merging aspects, putting a limelight from a different point of view into this one. And this happens until everybody was at every station, at every station, every flip chart, every whiteboard you're working on. I really like this format because on one side it's totally open and creative, but then you focus on the real big things. And since there's always a new group of people discussing based on what the group or the groups before had discussed, you add a lot of value into this. And WeConnect, the organizer of the car HMI, they use a, let's say, reduced, slimmed, simplified format of the World Cafe. They have 6, 7, 8 different stations, base points, and there is one moderator at every base point, and then you have 5 questions, and they have 5 rounds you have. And then there are between 10 and 20 people showing up. So you see it's a slightly different thing, and you discuss a question with them, and then the next group shows up, and then you discuss a different question with them, and all of them are somehow related to one aspect of automotive HMIs. I had a World Cafe this year about artificial intelligence in automotive HMIs. This is based on the CARLI project, the government-funded project I've been working on in the past 3 years. It is running out now. I have a very few final things to do in this project, and then there's the final presentation in September. But based on that, because we have done a lot of work, I said, okay, let's discuss this one. Let's pull a couple of aspects about artificial intelligence in vehicles out, in vehicle HMIs and automotive HMIs. Let's have a deeper look at this. I have a group of dedicated, or five groups was planned, of dedicated experts to discuss different aspects of that. At the end, I will talk about four different things. The fifth group was on late Friday afternoon, and I had one person showing up there. And so we decided to have a little small talk about AI in cars, and then I found out that this guy is from Israel, and we talked about Israel, and we talked about the spiritual dimension of Jerusalem, the home base of three major world religions, and had a very good time, but this will not find its way into this episode of the Human Technology Podcast. The four things I talked about is visual HMI adaptations based on artificial intelligence. So we can adapt the HMI, and how does it change in its visual appearance based on artificial intelligence? And what are the parameters doing the change? So what do we feed into the black box, and what comes out on the visual side? The second point is then not the visual part, but the interaction design. So how does the interaction design change based on artificial intelligence? Third aspect was the visualization of AI at work, so the avatar discussion that we had. Well, what can we do with an avatar? How should it look like? How can we represent artificial intelligence on vehicle dashboards? And the final round was, what new artificial intelligence-based functions and features can we implemented in cars? So what are the chances? How can we move forward? How can we use this not only on a, let's say, car HMI side, but also to widen, innovate, enrich the user experience that our drivers have in cars? All right, so let's start with the visual adaption. So you can adapt this HMI of set this is a kind of black box idea that we have, and we feed into this one personal preferences, past behavior, the use cases, the contexts of use, what is happening. So the use case, what are people doing there? Are they parking their car? Are they driving it into a garage? Are they standing in a traffic jam? Are they driving into a foreign city they don't know? Those are the use cases that you have. In the context of use, like what weather is it, what temperature is it, what traffic do we have outside? So all these can be parameters that are used to feed the AI algorithm. And then we have a couple of outputs, and this was what we talked about. So I will just put out a couple of things the participants in the workshop mentioned, and some of them are not fully in line with what I think, but I will, just tell you what we discussed. The first one was the mood-based adaption. One participant said, okay, when the driver is sad, then maybe a colorful HMI pops up. Or maybe another person prefers to have if he or she is in a melancholic state of mind, maybe a reduced color set. So to remain in this calmed down status. So this can be found out and then it can be adapted. So the color set, light effects, interior colors, all the audio schemes that you have, the sound schemes that you have, that you all base all this on user emotions. Also adapting colors and themes based on what's happening outside, on current events. Yeah, on, for example, POIs in the environment, the age of the driver, the presence of children in the car, so that you adapt the HMI, the entire vehicle interior, to these, let's say, external parameters. You can adapt size, color, position of elements on the screen and in the vehicle and on the dashboard based on speed, on location, on the time of day, weather, all these input parameters that you have, and that you say, okay, in a night drive, I need a specific information and I will put this closer to the line of sight, yeah, which I may not need during a day ride. Then this specific information may move away. So all these are things we did. And two other points that came up, that the artificial intelligence can be used to adapt the HMI to visual and hearing problems of a user. So if he or she is hearing impaired, then maybe we will not use acoustic signals, but we will focus more on visual signals. Or if you have a person that gets more and more based maybe on age, farsighted, that it gets problems with seeing things on a display that is close, we may move more to acoustic signals. And detecting this and adapting this one to a specific person, a specific use case, this will be possible with artificial intelligence. And the final point we talked about was adapting sounds when and screen contents when the artificial intelligence detects driver distraction. So that maybe you reduce the visual components, the amount of visual information in the driver, in the line of sight of the driver, and you replace that with acoustic information. So that at least the visual distraction may be reduced, because I don't get a navigation error anymore that I have to search somewhere, but I get an advice, a clear advice that gives me the direction that I should travel to. And this is not really new, but based on AI, you can detect driver distraction and you can adapt the HMI according to the level of distraction, to the kind of personality, to the age of the person, so everything, to the context of use, to the specific use case you're in. So you're having this opportunity. In these world cafes, there are always, in every round, three key takeaways. So the three ones we could agree on here were: artificial intelligence can adapt colors, shapes, fonts, contrasts, based on personal preferences, on use cases and contexts. The visual structure shall be adapted to the respective parameters. And the main inputs for the adaptations are mood, context, abilities and preferences. My learning out of this one was that the mood came up. I did not have this on my radar before. But since then, I'm thinking about this, yes, of course. Moods, emotions are a strong factor in driving and in the user experience of drivers. So yes, of course, we have to consider them and make the respective reactions. Second was the changes in the interaction design based on artificial intelligence. So menu trees, procedures, processes, how do I interact with the system? How do I exchange information with the technology? And the first point was that excessive granular personalization will suddenly be possible. And that down to a point that maybe we don't need any menu trees anymore for everything, because the system knows what I want, can predict what I want, and is very good in predicting what I want. And for that, avoid a higher number of operations or interactions or menu trees. And this came up over and over again, and I found this a very interesting aspect that we have. Because even the best HMI, and we discussed this as well, the best HMI has a certain structure and has a certain complexity. And all this shall be then replaced with a smart algorithm that helps me to, or supports me in what I want to do. AI allows the adaption to driving tasks, to situations like parking, traffic jam, touring, racing, city cruising, all this is possible. Another aspect we discussed is predicting the user routines when entering the car or when doing things in the car. When I get into my car and it is under 10 degrees centigrade on the outside, I turn on the car, I turn on the seat heating, I turn on the defroster of the window if required, I put the car into sport mode, I turn on a Spotify playlist, and I'm doing all these things every time when I enter a car, and I have to press about half a dozen of different buttons and do half a dozen of different things to get the car into the shape, into the position, into the way it should be. And this can be predicted, this can be learned by an artificial intelligence algorithm, and then just done, just performed. Same direction is the reduction of the home screen to the required functions, to what's really needed. That is then based on previous behavior, dropping things that are not needed or used extremely seldom, and then you don't need to waste space on your screen for features, for buttons you never use. In this round, we had two key takeaways. The first one was reflect routines in the HMI. Try to find out, the AI can learn that this specific user, that Dr. Peter, if he is entering the car, that you then will happen these five things in a row. And then you can either just offer them as a row so that I just have to click them down, or just do them, just perform them, just put the car based on me and my preferences into a certain state. And the second one was replace pebble hopping. Replace this selection from the list, and then you have another list, and then you select from this list, and then you have a third list, and then from that list you execute something. At the end, we agreed that no HMI is the best HMI, which, by the way, is a title of a book. I think it's almost 15 or 20 years old now, but it is out there. So there are thoughts about having no HMI, which may then be the best HMI, because you have complexity, you have interactions, you have structures, if you have an HMI. The third point we discussed was the visualization of artificial intelligence at work, the avatar. An interactive and active AI shall communicate its presence, its activity, one way or the other to the driver. And this can be an avatar that is having some kind of shape, some kind of behavior, some kind of interactivity. And then you can see, all right, now I'm interacting with an artificial intelligence. By the way, one of the participants said, we're always interacting with artificial intelligence in cars. Even if you get the weather, there's some artificial intelligence algorithm behind this and giving me the weather, the right weather. Why should we indicate AI at work at all? Very interesting point, thoughts, and I still believe that we should indicate AI at work to make users aware that decisions are made or that information is given not by a human, but by a machine, by a software, by bits and bytes that are used. The points we discussed in this round is the avatar shall be personalized to get higher acceptance in the user group. And no limits shall apply in modalities and design. So it shall be totally free and open. It shall be multimodal. It shall be on all kinds of interaction channels and highly flexible. One lady said these colorful liquid balls, they are a good design or a good example of avatar design. So you may know this, they're ball shaped and they have color schemes changing and they have size changing and they have the shape of the ball changing. So this could be a very good avatar design, highly abstract. With the study we did, my personal remark, in the Kali project, we found out that a highly abstract avatar is accepted, but that an avatar that is not so highly abstract is accepted even more, even better. So maybe that could be something to think about. How can I do this? Is highly abstract avatars, are highly abstract avatars the right thing, or do we need some kind of, let's say, facial expression or highly schematic face to give users a good feeling? Group member came up with the idea that different avatars, different behaviors and designs shall be applied for different contexts. So the ADA system, probably something serious, safety related, driving related, may have a more serious avatar, and navigation, a little less serious, and media and fun and gaming, maybe again a totally different appearance of the avatar, which I found a pretty cool idea, thinking about this one, saying, yeah, come on, I'm having different interaction cases, I have different use cases, I'm having different situations, and I have different functions, and depending on that, I adapt the design and the behavior of the avatar. One more point that I found very good is, when shall the avatar be shown? Is it only in the vehicle? So is it part of my vehicle dashboard, of my in-vehicle HMI? Or is it also part of the app? Is it part of the communication I'm having with my car maker? Is it maybe transferable from one car to the other? Does it come with me? Is the avatar not only or if I have a if I have a car sharing car and I have this app, is the avatar already on the app guiding me through the booking and payment process? And then saying, okay, now we're going to move to the car and you will see me there again. And then I have the same avatar appearance, behavior, communication on my dashboard. That was, from my point of view, a very interesting question that was raised. And I don't have I have an answer for this one. Yes, it should be everywhere. It should be ubiquitous and it should be mine. One person raised a very good idea, or a totally different idea. Is an avatar useful at all? We have so many failed examples in the past, so that maybe a good HMI does not need an avatar at all. I have my reasons why I believe avatars should be there, should be present. But I find this idea also extremely interesting. So the avatar is about 50 years old, the idea. We have this since the mid-70s. And we need to ask ourselves, is this really the right way? Are we doing the right thing here? Or is there a reason why there are not too many avatars on vehicle dashboards? So maybe with the idea of representing artificial intelligence with an avatar is outdated, is not realistic, is not the not the perfect solution that we can have. All right, so the three key takeaways out of this round. The first one, is an avatar needed or useful? Big question for me that I will think about in the next time, and I will let you know my results of my thinking. An avatar shall be personalized. It shall be a person, or shall be my avatar. It shall be adapted to my personal preferences. And an avatar needs to be context sensitive. So an avatar that guides me through an ADAS process, lane keeping or adaptive cruise control, is one thing. But the media or gaming avatar can be totally different, or behave totally different, or look totally different. It can be something different out of this. The fourth round was on AI-based features and functions in vehicles. And we have the possibility to create new features and functions in cars based on artificial intelligence. And the first one that came up said personalization. Now, the system shall suggest exactly the functions that one specific user needs in one specific moment and in one specific location and one specific context. So this shall be done and shall be realized. One participant came up with the idea that we shall have a takeover of smartphone look and feel, which is something we already have with Android Auto and Apple CarPlay. But yes, of course, maybe we have it even smarter, better, more personalized, more context sensitive if we put an AR algorithm behind this one. One thought that I find extremely valuable was AI-based suggestions for relevant point of interests along the route. So we have, maybe I'm an electric car driver, so I want to see the charges along the route. Or the charges become more prominent if my battery goes lower. And maybe even the AI finds out, hey, you're charged right now because in the next 300 kilometers, there is no open charger for you. So do it. Fill up your car, fill up your battery, or you will have problems later on. Things like specific shops, specific sites. Maybe my artificial intelligence will know that I'm a motorbike enthusiast and I visit museums every now and then. And then there is a motorbike museum along the route and it says to me, hey, Peter, have a half an hour break. There's a super interesting motorbike museum here along the route. And have a look at this one. Restrooms, shops, sites, all this is possible. And can be highly personalized, adapted to the route, adapted to the time of day. So suggesting me at 10 in the evening a museum that is closing at 6 in the afternoon doesn't make any sense. But an AI will find this out and give me the right hints. Selecting music, ambient lights, temperature based on the context of the ride. For example, if your calendar knows that you're coming out of the gym and getting into the car, it cools down the air condition a bit. Or your car knows that you had a super hot day with tons of meetings and a lot of stress, then it plays just the music that you want to hear after a stressful working day. Some may want to listen to speed metal, others want to listen to maybe some kind of electronic music, ambient music. Whatever you prefer is played for you based on what the car knows how your day was, where you're coming from, where you're going to, so that you have a better overall experience. Safety related, that you adapt the signals on the dashboard, that you adapt the information on a screen, for example, based on driver fatigue. When a driver gets tired on a long journey, you may get additional haptic alerts, you may get larger fonts, larger signs, you may get a reduction of the visual load coming in from the system, maybe even up to a flashlight or a cooled down air condition, so that you can lower the idea, or they can lower the consequences of driver fatigue. The intelligent voice assist is more or less realized already, but shall find its way into cars, reflecting personal preferences, knowing you. And yeah, that car, this is also a thought that I found new and exciting, is selecting the best route for the driver's skills. So if you have a beginner driver, maybe you want to avoid narrow roads. Or if you are, if you tend to speed on autobahns, the system may find a route that it's not containing too many autobahns, so that you are safe from speeding. All this could be ideas of how we can implement new features with artificial intelligence. And finally, the connection to the smart home, that you can watch your cat and dog at home, that everything is okay. You can have maybe a look into your fridge and find out, okay, butter and milk are missing, I need to drive to the supermarket. Or the other way around, that you prepare your home for your arrival, that you have a nice warm bathtub and dimmed lights and relaxing music, and or maybe even the AI will know that you want this without yourself being really aware of this. And so you arrive at home and you find out, all right, my in-vehicle / smart home HMI AI, they have prepared my home in exactly the way that I want to have it. And so these could be features that we can realize. And finally, the last one I want to talk about here is a more technical aspect, a little drier than the rest, but from my point of view, very valuable and safety related. That's predictive maintenance. So that based on noises in your car, on vibrations, on color changes of materials in your car, and then the technical components, the AI realizes, all right, we need to replace the brake pads within the next 1,000 kilometers. We need to have fresh tires on pretty soon. Some part will break in the next 10,000 kilometers, so we need to take care about how to handle this one. All right, so the three key takeaways out of the final round, the features around our smart assistance for all use cases in the car, so that I am assisted. And it's a smart assistant. It is not getting on my nerves. It is not doing things I don't want, but it's so smart that I'm really supported by the assistant. Context-sensitive features are required. And again, the same thought as in the group before, reduced operation is a target, down to the no HMI at all. Because the artificial intelligence knows and sees and steers everything in the way that is best for me. All right, so far on the Weld Cafe on artificial intelligence and automotive HMIs. Four things I talked about, the visual HMI adaptations, through AI, the changes in the interaction design based on HMI, the avatar, do we need it or not? And if we need it, what shall it do and how shall it look like? And new functions in the vehicle based on artificial intelligence. If you are interested in digging deeper into this one, as every year I have compiled a report about the meeting, and you will find the thoughts I have talked about here also in this report. If you want to receive your free copy and you have not yet received it, send me an email, peter.rusker@beyond-hmi.de or podcast@beyond-hmi.de, or you contact me on LinkedIn, and then you have the chance to get your copy, to read yourself through it and get all the information. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time. Take care and stay healthy.